right.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network live from Bar Canada at the D. Downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer. What's happening, man?
Not much. Due for a haircut. Haircut day? Your haircut?
Haircut day.
Haircut day?
I mean, look at me, for God's sakes. Very
Tuesday's Gil's haircut day.
He's due. You know, they say like an athlete's due. I'm due. We got football to talk from yesterday. The final two games in what was super wild card weekend. Though if betting didn't exist, it was hardly super. The entire set of games.
Okay, that's fair to say.
Thank God for betting.
Between the NBA being on all day and the NFL, it was the greatest Monday ever.
Oh, dude. Give me that 2-2-2 format every year.
Every year.
Every year. I had no idea the Emmys were on yesterday either.
I had no idea.
No idea.
That's breaking news to me right now.
My brother texted him. I'm like, I had no clue. We'll talk about these two games momentarily. Drew Dinsick will join us. Drew Dinsick had himself a heck of a week, a heck of a weekend in the NFL. I did not. I had a great regular season. Hopefully, if the Niners and Ravens do their things, I'm going to have a great finish. Some futures cash this year as well. But I did not have a good wild card weekend. We'll talk about all the futures that I have pending and yours as well coming up on the show. And we'll talk a little college basketball with Kai McKeon from Three Man Weave as well. I usually do my formula after the Super Bowl. We'll take a first glance into it. Not the full formula of who can win a college basketball title, but we'll get Kai's opinions on the group of teams that qualify or on the cusp of qualifying. First of all, the games yesterday. Let's begin in chronological order, and we'll talk about the division round lines, which I was either dead on yesterday or a half point off on, as it turns out, for all four division games coming up this weekend, which I always view, Kelly, as like the last real weekend of football after next weekend. It feels like
Don't say it, Kel.
A little bit of depression sets in where you're like, wait a minute, there's only three more games in the season. Except for you Pro Bowl fans, there's four.
That's right. Fire up the dodgeball odds, baby.
Pittsburgh at Buffalo. I can't really be blamed for this one. This is the bet that a lot of us who bet Pittsburgh were stuck with. We thought this was going to be an inclement weather. So just a bad break. Steelers end up losing by 14. Back door was open.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph had no idea how to get
there. I was rooting for you there.
Oh, God.
I hit my team total over, but it was even for those of us that, you know, I guess I wasn't on the Bills side, but I was on the Bills side, right? Like sitting there watching that game yesterday, within the first 15 minutes, you're like, this game is completely different and completely, it so much more benefits Buffalo Bills than it would have 24 hours
before it. Brutal. Bills win at 31-17. They get the cover. Total soars over. The game started. Pittsburgh punted. Buffalo then quickly 10 plays, 80 yards. Allen to Knox from nine out. 7-0. 7:02 left in the first quarter. They trade a couple three and outs. Then Pittsburgh, first play of their ensuing drive. First and 10 at their own 18. Rudolph to Pickens. Hit by Aaron Johnson. He fumbles. The Bills, it's ruled an incomplete pass on the field, but you knew in commercial that was totally a fumble, and it was. They overturned it, recovered by Terrell Bernard. Buffalo took one play after that, set up at the Steelers 29. Allen to Kincaid, 14-0 Bills. 4:10 left first quarter. What you're talking about, Kelly, immediately setting in there. You're like, oh, so this is how this is going to go.
Yeah.
This would have been different. By the way, Pittsburgh with a three and out, another three and out right after that. That was the sequence you may remember where on the third down play, Tony Romo gleefully shouted, I think it's intercepted, Jim. And then Jim Nance goes, they're saying it hit the ground. He goes, it did, but it looked like it was intercepted, Jim. Easy, Tony. Buffalo three and out. Then Pittsburgh, first play, first and 10 at their own nine. Remember, they're down 14-0 here. Rudolph goes to Freiermuth for 33. This was just, Kelly and I were texted after this. What the hell are we watching here?
I was so glad when you texted me. I was sitting on the couch so confused.
I'm like, he goes to Freiermuth for 33. Freiermuth clearly fumbles the football. It's called out of bounds, and it looks like Baylen Specter of the Bills recovers it inbounds. And they go, and then, you know, it's challenged, as the Bills should.
Yep.
And they come back, and they say the call stands. Now, the whole time Jim Nance is saying, I think it right there, it grazed off his helmet. I'm looking. I'm like, I don't see that, Jim.
So I'm not going to say he was wrong.
He might have been
right. But you couldn't see
that. You couldn't
tell. So therefore, they must have decided. I mean, we didn't see any more clarification on this, or at least
they must have decided Baylen Specter was out of bounds, but yes, he wasn't.
That he didn't recover it in time enough, Gil, before he rolled out of bounds.
Zero. There was zero sense to this. How is that not a fumble? And by the way, if that's actually a fumble and is ruled as such, good God, what does this become, you know, even worse than it already was? As it turns out, Pittsburgh matriculated after that, and then Rudolph threw the pick at the goal line. Remember, he threw it to Kair Elam. Kair Elam with the pick in the end zone.
That was a crazy drive, because you had Kair getting burned right with the the penalty. He had a couple of the bad plays on the drive, and then that interception just kind of falls in his lap in the end zone.
Oh, it was brutal if you had Pittsburgh right there. And then Buffalo goes 8 plays, 80 yards. Allen for 52. That was his 52-yard scamper down the middle of the field. 21-0 Bills, a little more than halfway through the second quarter. Pittsburgh had a 3-and-out. And then remember, Buffalo tried to add a 49-yard field goal from Tyler Bass. That's where the game sort of turned. It was blocked by Montrevious Adams. Nick Herbig recovered it way downfield. I mean, that thing was blocked to the heavens.
Yeah.
Sam Martin, the Bills punter, hurt his hamstring on the pursuit there. Anyway, Pittsburgh did turn that into a touchdown. 5 plays, 33 yards. Rudolph to Deontay from 12. It was 21-7. And then Pittsburgh and Tomlin, they stupidly sort of let the clock roll down with Martin perhaps hurt. They didn't know if he was hurt or not. And so it goes to halftime. They should have used their timeouts there and tried to do something with it. Third quarter starts. Again, Buffalo's up 21-7 now. And Buffalo 3-and-out. Martin did punt. He was fine. Boswell, he kicks a field goal, 21-10. Then Buffalo had 4th and inches at their own 45. Allen did convert it. That led to a Bass 45-yard field goal. So they traded field goals. 24-10 Buffalo. 1:32 left third quarter. Pittsburgh, 12 plays, 75 yards, 6 minutes. Rudolph to Calvin Austin for a touchdown. They cut it to 7 with 10:32 left in the fourth quarter. 24-17. But then this happened. For those of us who had Pittsburgh, it's just like, and obviously Pittsburgh Steelers fans, Buffalo. Two plays. The second play, a non-PI on an uncatchable ball that got called a defensive hold on Miles Jack, which was like the officials bailing themselves out of having to not call uncatchable.
Yeah.
Because they threw the flag for PI. They're like, well, the ball did land in row 3. Why don't we just call it a hold or something? Two plays after that. Pardon me. Then a late unnecessary roughness on Jack where he got flagged just as Allen slid, which both Nance and Romo and my man, the referee consultant whose name has escaped me right now, are like, oh, yeah, you got to call that. Absolutely. I'm like, what are you talking about? You have to call that. He's already committed. There's nothing you can do there. How are you flagged for playing professional football?
I mean, that's that bang quarterback slide one that like you see it called a lot. It's just it always goes back to what's the guy supposed to do?
That gray area should not ever be called. Anyway, two plays later, Allen to Khalil Shakir for 17 after breaking a would-be Fitzpatrick tackle, by the way, 31-17. And then Pittsburgh would at 4th and 3 at their own 32. This is where, you know, it gets dicey. Rudolph intended for Pickens. Romo, by the way, before this play on 4th and 3 at their own 32 with Pittsburgh down 14, Romo says, I think this 4th down might be the game. Thanks, Tony. Incomplete. No PI on Johnson called. Sterator thinks it's correct that it's no PI. He's wrapped around him. Anyway, Bass, for those of folks who might have had Pittsburgh plus 14.5 in game, which I know a lot of people who did, Bass, 37-yard field goal, way wide.
Yeah.
And it remains 34-17 at that point. 31-17, pardon me. Back door open, 1:57 left in the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh gets it to the 25 when the clock expires. Like, Rudolph never took shots except for that one.
3 plays beforehand, Romo goes, I think the Steelers still alive here, Jim.
Right after he had said, this one's for the game. Yeah, he goes, hey, you got to move quicker because then you got to leave time for the onside kick. He's gone from spectacular to not really that good.
Yes. I hate to hate on these guys, but like Jim Nance is talking earlier in the broadcast too about how they've basically been locked in the hotel for 3 days. It's like, Tony, do some prep, man.
I think it's intercepted, Jim. They're saying it hit the ground. It did, but it looked like it was intercepted, Jim. So Buffalo advances to host The divisional game on Sunday afternoon, which is really the marquee matchup of the four. The Chiefs on the road. This is the someone said on Twitter yesterday, this is going to be the Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season of the week. Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you know this. Patrick Mahomes is having his first road playoff game.
I don't know. Whoever told you that, absolutely dead on. Great call. Are going to hear that on every single broadcast, every show on this network, on every other network that you could possibly think of.
I guess Bills minus 2.5, and it is minus 2.5 on the Bills here. And remember, these two teams played once this year already. That was the Kadarius Toney lined off sides game where Buffalo went into Kansas City. It was the beginning of Buffalo's flourish at the end of the season where they beat the Chiefs 20-17. It was the Latavius Murray play that was ruled a catch. And a fumble. Remember, it was incomplete, really, but they ruled it a catch. Fumble didn't lead it anything for Buffalo, but it was really known for the Travis Kelce pitchback to Rashee Rice touchdown, but Kadarius Toney was offsides on that play, so the Bills won it. I think that's the appropriate line, and I cannot wait for this football game.
Yeah, I can't wait either. I did take a small piece of Bills 2.5 when it looked like this was rising near 3 last night. This has come back and settled, though. We're pretty much 2.5, juice 2.5s everywhere. I think the one thing, one thing I'm really worried about takeaway from that game is this was another game with a ton of Buffalo injuries in the defense.
So banged up.
We had 3 linebackers, multiple secondary guys go down in that game.
Yeah. We're saying that about the Rams. If the Rams had advanced, how banged up they would have been. You'd say that for a bunch of teams. By the way, the other one, Baltimore now hosting Houston, I'd guess 10. It's 9.5. They played week 1 where Baltimore beat them. Don't know how much you can read into that. We'll come back NFC side on the other side next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. How about that? Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlew, live from Bar Canada here at the D. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Dom Perignon. I'm not mispronouncing it. That's how he spelled it. Travel back in time to November 1st, 2023. You ask a sportsbook director to post a prop that there will be 3 coaches fired in the NFC East at the end of the year. What odds do they post? Yikes. If you believe that Sirianni and McCarthy will join Rivera, I mean, my God.
Just give me a yes, no price at the beginning of the year on Nick Sirianni being fired.
Oh, my God. We'll see. By the way, Jason Kelce announcing his retirement, his intention to retire here at the end this morning after that game last night. John Fitzgibbon. So either former Rams quarterback Jared Goff or former Rams quarterback Baker Mayfield will be in the NFC Championship game. He did play for the Rams. He did have a cup of coffee with him. Let's see. Trevor Warwick. What about the Allen fake slide? He should have been marked down as soon as he started to pull up. Well, we talked about that fake slide, how it puts the defense in a pickle. And then Kevin Ryan. Gil, how many times do we have to hear Romo say, "You're exactly right, Jim," during a broadcast? 3JackH3131. Hey, watched Kennan push Iga in the first set last night. Any plays today for Down Under? I'll have him at beeson.com/picks. Yes. I think I was appropriately nervous for the Iga versus Sophia Kennan match last night. And Sophia Kennan, the 2020 Australian Open champion, did give Iga, a little wake-up call. Like, hey, you're about to go through a gauntlet. Let's wake you up from the very first set. But Iga got through it last night in her first round match. Drew Dinsick will have thoughts on both football and tennis. We turn to him now. He is the host of not just the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with his buddy Andy Molitor, but also NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast. He joins us now at @whale_capper. Good morning to you, Drew. How you doing, man?
Doing tremendously well. It's a big week, Gil. People are buzzing. There may be a Megapod appearance this there. Week. I don't mean to spoil the surprise, but a lot of people have been asking: Is there going to be a divisional week appearance on the Megapod? And I believe yes.
I had my ear to the streets, Drew, and I heard the same thing. What other? You better actually put my ear down on the pavement.
Deafening. Yeah, it's deafening. The closer you get to the street. Yeah.
It's palpable. What other cliches can we use? yes, that is tomorrow, by the way, divisional round. And Drew coming off what I think, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, was a spectacular super wild card week for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Big winning week for me. I was, if the Rams had gotten one more first down and kind of kicked a game winning field goal and kept that total under 51. and then if the Steelers had backdoored the plus 10, we're like shopping for yachts this morning, but not to be, but that said, I was pretty excited about the results overall. And honestly, like the quality of football was pretty outstanding. The entertainment level, the excitement level of NFL football throughout the regular season was pretty, it wasn't one of the most memorable seasons. I'll just kind of put it politely that way, I guess. But I thought overall the playoff games were incredible. And, you know, the outcome of having CJ Stroud and Jordan Love kind of step into the ring as like, no, we're for real. Like we can perform at the highest level in the crucible of playoff pressure. Like that's just a pretty outstanding outcome for the sport broadly. And I think these matchups that we have for the divisional round are awesome. I know we have two massive favorites with, home teams and the one seeds coming off of a bye week, but I think those games are going to be super competitive. And then Bucks, Lions, Chiefs, Bills, like that's going to be a really fun Sunday. This was about the most entertaining Final Four I think we could have constructed in terms of just like, just entertainment factor. Dallas, I guess, would have been in the mix instead of Tampa. But I'm glad we get to send Green Bay to San Francisco. So, it was a great wild card weekend and very fired up for the divisional round. I guess, what else? Obviously, the Australian Open's going on. Round one is finally in the books after a three-day marathon.
Yes.
I'm at the loopy stage, of trying to watch and handicap three sports at once. Next week, I'll be in the kind of dragging my head out of a ditch stage, I guess. This is a lot of fun this time of year.
It is. You're exactly right. It is the loopy stage where we're just watching tennis way too late into the night than one should. We'll get to the tennis here momentarily. Let's go back to football. So you had all the dogs except for Miami this week. Pittsburgh, you would not have bet on had there not been weather. Had you known that it would be rescheduled, would you have bet the Steelers?
I took a little stake down actually once it didn't move as much as I thought it would have once they moved the game. Both the total and the line not really recalibrating for what was going to be very different weather conditions was kind of surprising to me. I know the total ultimately got bet up, but at first there was it was a long window where you could get some decent bets down on over at prices that were like clearly going to go one way. The side never moved. 10. One of the reasons to bet 10 with the Steelers was because you had this phenomenally low total and it was going to be chaos conditions. And ultimately it was beautiful weather and, Steelers still almost got there. Like they took points off the board with the end zone pick. They gave the Bills a cheap touchdown with the George Pickens fumble. They played poorly in a lot of phases of the game and they were still kind of right there, which, maybe had something to do with the injuries the Bills sustained in the game, or maybe the Bills just aren't quite as good as the market thinks. Yeah. Certainly the fact that this was opened around a three and people were pretty anxious to get involved with Kansas City and we're staring at a 2.5 there now, is interesting. Cause I really thought that with the Bills kind of, their finish to the season, the enthusiasm around that team, the number of people that believe that they can make a run to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, holding futures, believing in Josh Allen being elite. Like, there's a lot of I thought sentiment that may have induced people to play Buffalo in this game. On top of the fact that, you know, a month ago, Kansas City was -1.5 at home against the Bills, and Kansas City probably should have won that game. So it's surprising to me that we saw this market come in pretty hot and heavy on Kansas City. And I guess that has something to do with expectation of the Buffalo Bills being without a couple of key defenders. Yeah, still a little bit of a shock that the home Buffalo Bills aren't getting any support. And I guess I should add to the handicap, the rest disadvantage might be meaningful. Chiefs with the 2 days extra to prepare for this game.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Bills coming off of, they're going to have a short week just 1 day less recovery. But when you get those kind of injuries, that might ultimately be a pretty important factor.
What did you bet already then for the divisional round?
Right now, all I've got is Houston and Green Bay plus the points. I am kind of waiting for additional information on injury situations on the Sunday games before getting involved. But at 6, I have a slight lean to Detroit. And at 2.5, I have to play the Bills, even though I was, again, like kind of entirely mentally prepared to, to go to war here with Kansas City at 3 or 3.5. Price point at 2.5 says I got to bet Buffalo there.
Yeah, I got the slight lean to Detroit as well. So the big spread games on Saturday where the Ravens and Niners show up, you're taking the points in both of them. You just feel that number is obviously you feel it's too high. How high do you feel it is? Like by what margin?
Yes. So my fare on Texans Ravens is 7.5. So decent margin there, but obviously you're not crossing any keys going from 9.5 to 7.5. My fare for Green Bay is 7. So that one's a little bit bigger. And I guess the Green Bay enthusiasm, I don't think it's misplaced. Like, I really do think that offense is just clicking absolute, perfect, synergy right now. Matt LaFleur, I would expect, is going to spend a lot of time studying that Baltimore Ravens tape from Christmas night about how the Ravens elected to attack the San Francisco 49ers defense. And I think, honestly, the throws that Jordan Love's making and the weapons that they have available to attack the Niners is going to be pretty effective. The pass protection that the Packers have been getting from that offensive line has been superlative. So realistically, you can neutralize the kind of the one game-breaking chaos factor that the Niners defense brings to the table. And, if they're not getting home with their pass rush, then there's definitely soft spots you can attack that defense. So Packers, I realistically think, can go score for score with the Niners. And depending on whether that one could be your biggest score line of the week.
Can I ask you a Megapod question real quick? One word answer?
Yeah.
If I tell you either the Niners or Ravens lost, if I come to you from the future, which team lost outright?
Trick question. They both lose.
Coming back, more Drew Dinsick on the other side. Cop out. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge through the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl, and I know you are, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today. Get your first 30 days for only $9.99 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Kelly, you and I are going to be on Radio Row for a couple days during Super Bowl week.
That we are.
Thursday and Friday beforehand?
Yep, Thursday and Friday.
So are we going to be like just inundated with celebs? Is that what's going to happen?
No, I'm sure. What are you talking about?
Listen,
you are the
here's what I'd like for you to arrange. I'd want you to get Usher on with us.
Got
I just
it,
want
no
to
problem.
Do two
Check
segments
mark.
With Usher. Yeah, okay, one segment with Usher.
I was thinking about that during a commercial last night for that. Why do we... Usher's going to be great. Usher's going to be great.
Yeah. And I want you to refer to him as Usher when you call him over. Be like, Usher, come on over here. Got an interview.
What I don't get with halftime shows, though, is why do we have to get these people like 20 years after like their prime?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Although I would dispute that Usher's 20 years out of his prime, but yeah. By the way, his show here is spectacular. Roller skates.
Oh, I haven't been.
Yeah. We get tweets. Let's get Usher on. I want to talk to Usher. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jimmy Lopez, is the app down? How do we listen on our phone now? Great question. Kelly?
The VSiN app is going away. Yes. This is its final day, I believe, or it might be done already. Just go to VSiN.com. If you are a paid, if you're a subscriber to VSiN, you should be able to watch all shows at VSiN.com. So even on your phone, just type it in there.
Nate Goggins, can you remind us of the college basketball championship formula? I've been shopping for futures to add to the ones I have in pocket already. I don't want to go deep dive, but it is basically, I'll do it off the top of my head. KenPom adjusted top 20 offense, KenPom adjusted defense top 20, a coach with Sweet 16, a coach who has already been to the Sweet 16 before this tournament. You can, in the case of the top 20s, you can play yourself into them during the tournament. So even if you're on the outside looking in just before, you could possibly get there. That's the one sort of thing. You have to have more assists than turnovers. What's another one in there? There's another one that I'm forgetting. Anyway, there's six criteria, and those are the main ones on them. I'm forgetting a couple, but it's tried and true. Besides the 2014 UConn Huskies, it never fails. We'll get into it after the Super Bowl. We'll get into all the details of it. Auburnist, I love hearing you hate watch Succession, so I don't have to. I bailed midway through the first season, and I kept thinking maybe I should start back. Thanks for saving me time. You are welcome, Auburnist. John Blum, he's got a shot of the 1943 debut episode of the Megapod. Thank you. He's black and white sitting around a radio. It's outstanding. Jimmy Lopez chimes back in. He goes, "The Bear is a phenomenal show. Watch it, Chef." I think he called me a chef. Jay, right. Touchdown Jesus Great goes show. The Jay, Touchdown Jesus goes the other way. He goes 25-1 that Gil. Oh no, he's going the same way. Yeah. 25-1 that I do not enjoy. In other words, that I will get hooked. Let me say that again. It's 25-1 that I don't enjoy The Bear. So he's saying I will. Yeah. Nevada Azer, just to follow up on that week one Houston-Baltimore game, it was a one-score game late into the third quarter. They were throwing everything at CJ that game, and if Houston was healthy, this division game would be even more intriguing. All right. Well said.
I think that the Ravens offense is probably just going to be a little too overwhelming for that Texans defense, but I cannot wait to see what CJ Stroud goes out there and does.
The rest has to be emphasized. You know, they had a week off. They get healthier. Ravens and Niners both. And that's the built-in advantage of not having to play that game. And so it does matter. And we'll see I mean, the proof will be in the pudding this weekend.
Sounds like the early weather watch games, too, are Baltimore's most significant, and that actually Santa Clara would be second.
Santa Clara.
Yeah. A little wind and rain expected.
Yeah. This Bay Area weather this time of year can be a little funky, for sure.
I mean, we're talking about it on Tuesday, too. Yeah, this is your reminder always, too, if you're thinking about weather betting. Pay closer attention to that closer to the actual game.
And apparently, if it gets bad enough, they'll move it.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. Also that. Yeah.
Also that. In the mix. All right. Time for some ridiculous division round power rankings. Plug it in.
104.2 The Buzz.
7.5 The Bone. All right. Here's the deal. Bucks, you're number 8. Sorry. You just are. I got the Lions at 7, but here's the fortune of the Lions. They get to play the Bucks. So I got the Lions covering. I got them advancing. I got them covering, and I got them in the championship game. There you go, Lions. Where Dan Campbell will ultimately make a poor coaching decision on the field.
Just the way the tournament sorts itself out, right? Like, you've had the Lions at, you know, bottom of the 10, if not in your top 10, but you've got them go to the NFC championship.
Yeah, yeah. 6, I got the Texans. 5, I got the Packers. I know Lions fans hate me for that, but right now I feel like the Jordan Love and CJ Stroud led Packers and Texans are firing on all cylinders. Now, I both think they're going to lose. I think both are going to lose this weekend, but we're just talking power rankings here. I got the Chiefs at 4, the Bills at 3, the Ravens at 2, and the Niners at 1. Should be no real surprises there. You, sir?
Gil, I'm just going to go off of yours real quick. 4 through 7.
Yes, sir.
I think you could argue could be put in all, I think any order. I think any order.
Even the four?
Even the four.
Even the Chiefs?
Even the four.
Okay. So disrespectful to Patrick Mahomes.
Now, for myself personally.
Yes, sir.
I had the exact same order as
you. Did you? Yeah, the exact same order? Yeah. Even you had the Lions at seven behind the Packers. Yeah. I'm a little surprised, but that's where
I'm saying four through seven. I switched that around a couple times. I think that's my tip of the cap respect to Mr. Patrick Mahomes that I'm putting you four. I don't know that for sure. That's where they belong. This Packers and Texans team, these teams have been extremely impressive. Slotted them five and six. Yeah, Lions seven. I think that's... If I knew you had 100% Sam Laporta, too, they'd be higher. That injury does concern me. I think that is a big, big weapon for them on offense that, let's see, give him another week. How much more is he able to progress? How much more is he able to do next week? We'll see. Obviously, I talked about earlier, I did bet the Lions, so there's a significant gap there between seven and eight for me. Did bet the Lions over the Bucks this week, and there's a significant gap in one from three to four. To me, I bet the Bills over the Chiefs.
I bet
the Bills over the Chiefs. I think that those three belong in a tier by themselves at the top, and four, five, six, seven probably are in that secondary tier. And the Bucks, you welcome. You got in.
If Bills lose this, Sean McDermott in trouble.
Man,
have we gotten to the point in the NFL that if you just can't get to the mountaintop, I don't know, multiple seasons, that nobody is safe? Well, in other words,
yes. I think there are too many NFL teams that have proven that they're willing to make a change very, very quickly.
Is any of that fair? Probably not.
Right. Most of it's not fair. I mean, people calling for Mike Tomlin's job. Like
Tomlin walking out of the presser yesterday when someone dared ask him about his contract.
I mean, like, that's ridiculous to me. McDermott, I guess I haven't really thought too much about that one. I just feel like, is he not in the perfect situation where Josh Allen, like, Josh Allen might get all the credit, but, man, he gets all the blame, too, seemingly, when that stuff goes wrong there. So, I don't know. Maybe he should be a little bit more on the hot seat than I have him.
Texans, Lions trying to get to the Super Bowl for the first time. Remember, there are four teams in the NFL, four franchises that have never gotten to the Super Bowl. The Lions and Browns being the veteran of those four teams. The Texans and the Jaguars being the junior of those four teams. This didn't come, this wasn't quite as big of a deal as the Dan Campbell decision in the Rams-Lions game when he had to choose between the fourth and four and the third and 14, and he chose the third and 14, and then Stafford went to Nacua. He was held. He was interfered with. He was late hit. Nothing was called. And so it worked out for Dan Campbell as he preferred that the Rams not have the 52-yarder from Maher. Last night, because we didn't go play-by-play on this, but last night the Eagles and the Bucks, I just wanted to bring this up. Did you have a problem with it when it was 25-9, so the Eagles were down 16. They had 4th and 10 at the Tampa Bay 22, and they decided to kick a field goal with 12:06 left. Offsides negated the points, and then they went incomplete on 4th and 5 because they did decide to go for it on 4th and 5. But did you have any problem with them kicking the field goal to knock it down from 16-13 with over 12 minutes left in the game?
100%.
You did have a problem with it?
I thought it was short enough time, but not enough time left for you to be playing the field goal game.
I did not have a problem with it because I figured
it's, I mean, it was on the edge. I had to think
it's
about
still
it, right?
10 yards, right? It's 4th and 10 at that point. You knock it down to 13. I get it's 2-score to 2-score, but 2-point conversions are hard.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Especially when you got stopped on a Tuchus push earlier. And there was still over 12 minutes. So I didn't have a huge problem with it. I know some people did.
Yeah, I just think for your offense wasn't moving well enough the whole game that I think you need to take advantage of those opportunities.
Didn't matter either way because they got smoked. Our plays on the other side next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.